Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, it's been a good session for markets to kick off the new trading week, with the Straits Times Index above 2,600, and even Chinese markets seeing strong gains. This on the back of what markets are hoping hoping from a potential U.S. Biden presidency in the United States, after the former vice president won enough electoral votes to potentially take the become the 46th president of the United States. Today, though, we have to start off with the continued fallout from the decision to suspend the planned dual IPO of Ant Group out in mainland China, and what it will mean for markets out in Shanghai and Hong Kong. Also, to take stock and take the temperature of Chinese markets with regards to a possible Biden presidency in the next 4 years. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined once again by Peter Chun, the founder of Silverbear Capital. He joins us live from Hong Kong to share with us his thoughts on all of these particular items. Peter, thanks so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you are in good health and in good spirits in these times.
Good afternoon.
And good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so Peter, we have to start off first and foremost with what's happened in the last 6 days. And this and the Ant Group IPO was supposed to be the biggest IPO in history, only for regulators to suspend the dual listing just 2 days before they were to begin trading on the markets last Thursday. Can you share with us what the mood or reaction was like in Hong Kong when it was announced, and whether or not it's continuing to have an impact, particularly on the retail investors who poured trillions of dollars, apparently, of interest into this potential IPO? What are markets saying out in Hong Kong with regards to this?
Well, I mean, a huge amount of money has been frozen for this IPO, and everybody has their eye on this IPO, since this is the biggest in history. And also, during this pandemic period, this kind of is a good news to the local market as well, because it is something big that would hopefully would be helping the Hong Kong capital market to move in its right direction after everything's happened during this year. Now, the ambush came from the regulators, was a total surprise. Now, one end, a lot of the retail investors were surprised, and they were kind of say, well, you know, what's going on? It says something bad happened in the company, and it's linked to, say, Alibaba, because obviously, you know, the relationship is very close between the two companies. And therefore, a lot of the skeptical investors actually did turn away from this, and then have to invest into its competitor, Tencent. Now, on the other end, a lot of the fund managers and wealth managers that is in the market actually did have some high hopes on this ambush, because after all, now we do believe this regulator is actually maybe doing his job after all, is doing his utmost to actually protect investors from over the world about companies that's been listed in Shanghai and Hong Kong. And actually, some of us are actually showing good faith for the regulators to actually put a hard stop if there is actually something that needed to be attended to. So I think there's two sides of the streets that people are looking at right now, as I said.
Right, but Peter, you know what catches my eye also is the timing of it. They did it 2 days before the IPO. Surely some of these issues have been already circulating about Ant Group, and you know does it raise eyebrows that they decided to do this after the IPO was priced and some of the orders were actually taken, thus catching a lot of these retail investors a bit trapped or pinched?
Mr. Ma obviously did a tremendous job with PRing the whole project on the table, and nobody would probably say that he's up to his job totally, and he has been lobbying this company as a tech company rather than a financial giant. I think that's where the argument comes into. And then at the end of the day, I think because 40% of the income of Ant does come from its lending business, which is something that I think the regulator is trying to argue against and trying to put some regulations around it, so that this is a true tech firm if Mr. Ma did play pledged it to be. I think the timing is also very, very sensitive. As you said, they put it like 2 days before everything is about to roll. So I think there is something behind the scene which we believe they are kind of mustering against each other. One say it's a tech firm, the other say, well, yeah, you're a tech firm, but you know, you look like a bank to me. And if you are actually going to operate like a bank in the future by growing very large or too large, then we need to put some policies around you to make sure that you behave like a tech firm and not a financial firm after all. I think that's kind of where they're trying to muscle along. And obviously, Mr. Ma has a lot of pull in the market space as well as in China. So I think he was able to kind of muscle people into the deal. But I think at the last hour of the deal, the regulators decided to put a delay on it.
Right. You know, one of those structural changes the regulators want to raise, Peter, actually caught my eye. And they want Ant actually to raise their coverage provided for loans from 2% to 30% on these loans that they co-offer alongside financial institutions. Now, that's a big jump, actually. How significantly might this impact the valuation of Ant moving forward? And do they have the firepower to actually cover these new requirements raised by regulators?
I think one of the things that the regulator are trying to do is to make sure that it is a tech firm, as they have lobbied so far. So they are trying to stop all the activities under the wealth management section divisions, which they're no longer able to sell products. And again, similar activities within the group would have to halt. Or maybe you have to spin it off and sell it off somewhere. This would obviously lead to a lower valuation immediately with Ant. And of course, this is not a bad news, if you ask me, because it just means that you know it's a smaller company, but it's still big. And but I think it's a more manageable vehicle going forward, because then now you have a clear vehicle that is into the tech arena rather than is linked heavily into the financial world, whereby then the risk towards investing into this company would ultimately have to be handcuffs to a lot of economical things that the investors will have to watch out for if this is not a tech firm purely.
Fine, fair enough. We're still speaking to Peter Chun, the founder of Silver Bear Capital out in Hong Kong, here on Money FM 89.3. Peter, I want to move on now to the other big event last week. We do have some finality, it seems, at least from the U.S. elections. It seems that we might be on course for potential for a Biden presidency, though U.S. President Donald Trump has said that he will contest the results still. Nevertheless, what of the results and developments with regards to the U.S. elections mean for Sino-U.S. relations and ultimately the market outlook for greater Chinese stocks? On one hand, they believe that relations might actually start to moderate, but some actually fear that perhaps some of the policies under the Trump administration, especially the trade policies, might not be as easy to unwind. What's the outlook at least, or what is the word on the street out in Hong Kong and across greater China?
Well, on the streets, obviously, everybody is talking about if Mr. Trump are no longer the president of the United States, then obviously there will be a better outlook with regards to the tension between U.S. and China because of how things are going to be done. But however, because there is so much been done with the trade war negotiation during Mr. Trump's offices for the last couple of years, we believe that the new president will not go in and whine everything as of today. It just doesn't make sense. What we think will happen is he will take a more conventional approach to understand how to cushionize the situation and how to soften the trading effect that China has been building up against U.S. During the last 10 years. So the trade war issues will still be there. It will not be unwind, although some of the people who have voted for him, say farmers in the agricultural area in U.S., would not like the situation, obviously, because China is still buying a lot of agricultural product from U.S. So I think what happened is the new president will look to somehow conventionalize the negotiation and try to soften areas which he thinks is going to benefit U.S. a little bit more, and yet trying to not build a heart-to-heart relationship with China, but go on a more conventional way by building allies around China and himself, and trying to work this out as a team rather than just like U.S.-China alone kind of thing.
All right. And finally, Peter, just before we let you go, I do want to get your outlook on emerging markets, who many say might actually benefit from what's happened in the U.S. elections. Do you think this will actually lead to an automatic flowback in investments? And if so, where in the emerging market space might Silverware be seeing opportunities and threats?
Well, this is a very good question. Now, the new president of the United States will obviously look to build allies, as probably has been lobbying too many times in his campaign. And now this competition that he's going to create is actually going against the one belt one road of China. So we'll see a lot more friendlier world out there onwards. But again, there will be competition between the two superpower country against these emerging markets, trying to bid for the infrastructures, trying to build better ally systems, compete for the trading, the commodity stuff. So I think the outlook for these emerging markets actually will continue to flow well after the dust has settled. So I think the money will kind of stop for maybe a year or so, maybe 6 months. But again, after everything is settled down, I think the money going into the emerging market will continue.
All right. Peter Chun, founder of Silverback Capital out in Hong Kong. Thanks so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety during these times. We look forward to having you back on the show again, sir. Meanwhile, stay safe out there.
Thank you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.